Chapter 3, AstroTurf Green. So there's this movie, Call of the Wild, where Harrison Ford and a dog named Buck go on a treacherous and epic journey through the Alaskan wilderness. In the movie, there's a scene about three quarters of the way in, where the two characters find themselves overlooking this unimaginably idyllic open landscape. The mountains, trees, and grass are all coated in this deep, saturated green. And Harrison Ford turns to his dog, pats him on the shoulder, and says,
"Your ancestors used to roam here, and mine, back when we were wild."
It's the American wilderness as we imagine it. A heavenly paradise, untouched and wild. But if you watch a behind-the-scenes clip of the movie, you'll discover that Buck, the dog, was actually played by a Cirque du Soleil acrobat named Terry, who imitated a dog's movements by walking on all fours using stilts. So most of the movie was actually filmed in a green screen studio, and Terry was edited to look like a dog using CGI technology. The whole heavenly natural environment was actually built in this studio. But what this shows is that the greenest, most pristine-looking landscapes can sometimes be a mask. They hide things.
Everything that looks like beautiful wilderness, like it's perfectly natural, is often the least natural thing and the most far away from a kind of pristine, perfect state as possible.
Art historian Sean Nesselrode-Mancata researches artistic representations of the American landscape. Recently, he studied a lithograph print called The Pastoral or Arcadian State by contemporary Mexican-American artist Enrique Chagoya. In the image, Chagoya illustrates a bright sun, a blue sky, and everywhere this saturated green landscape.
It's like the Windows, you know, default background, you know, that beautiful green hill. You can't take your eyes off of it, and the more you look at it, it looks pretty sickly. It starts to look toxic.
It's almost like Enrique Chagoya is trying to make the color green seem like a guy on stilts pretending to be a dog. He wants to reveal the unnaturalness of the color.
I like to think of it as like AstroTurf green, where it's just this kind of artificial replica. And Chagoya is peeling back that green curtain. There's kind of the idea that nature is some way to access some sort of less cumbersome, pre-modern state of being. But the thing is, the whole get back to nature, it presupposes this idea that there is something primitive to get back to. But the nature was never pristine. It was never a wilderness, and it was never completely innocent.
The interesting thing about the landscape in this work of art is that it's not empty. It's populated with portraits of indigenous people, like Moishikaw, the chief of the Iowa people who were displaced from their land by white settlers. And with these representations, Chagoya, the artist, hints that this so-called great American wilderness wasn't always untouched or wild at all.
Before the colonization of the Americas by Europeans, the landscape was actually quite populated, and it was quite worked by indigenous peoples. You have the construction of incredible terraces and fortified cities. There are histories of controlled burning of the landscape to maintain the ecosystem.
Through burning, indigenous people were able to contain underweeds and maintain pathways for walking, which meant that landscapes looked very different from the wild-looking green landscapes we think of today. But if this is true, how did so many of us come to believe in this idea of the landscape being wild?
The colonization of the Americas by Europeans was preceded by virus and disease that decimated indigenous populations. By the time conquistadores and other settlers arrive in the 15th, 16th centuries, you have a landscape that has been fundamentally altered by mass death. The loss of these populations leads to something called ecological release, where in response to this altering of the balance within the ecosystem, you have vegetation that is running wild. You have huge populations of passenger pigeons, for example, that run rampant. And so the effect of this is that many settlers didn't see the indigenous Americas at all.
Instead, they saw something that was overgrown and wild-looking. And because of this, they began romanticizing nature as this uninhabited heavenly paradise.
And of course, what that also necessitates is the continued erasure of the people who were there in the first place. The whole logic of colonial expansion requires the land to be uninhabited. And if it's not uninhabited, then you have to invent justifications for the eradication of indigenous populations.
The wilderness as we know it is a myth created by colonists. As European settlers forced indigenous peoples off of their land, the histories of the way they maintained the land were erased. And as the underweeds grew up and became thick and dark and entangled, the ideal of an uninhabited, lush green landscape became a really convenient mask to settlers that hid the violence they enacted on that land. Nowadays, our relationship with green and the natural world are complicated. Green has become more of a resource, a thing to own than something to live in balance with. But if the color green can teach us anything, it's that things can change, that nothing is permanent.
You can't change history, but you can change how it's told. And I think it goes back to acknowledging the fact that this is indigenous land, that this is a colonized continent. And we can't change the circumstances of how we got here, but we can certainly change how we move forward.